Olsen, brother and sister. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong, New South Wales, Australia. August 26, 1898. Brother and sister Olsen. I have received letters from you, but have not been able to answer them. I have been trying to accomplish some bookmaking and closing up book on the life of Christ, and it has been all I could possibly attend to in the line of writing. But there is a great dearth of means. The last work done in Stanmore, Sydney, has brought in altogether a better, more reliable class of people. We are thankful for this, and all controversy has been avoided, so that the community have not been left to take sides and remain anchored for or against the truth. We now have, through the grace of God, reached the number of 80-odd who have united with the church. We have an excellent building in Stanmore to accommodate the flock of God, and the interest is not dead. Others are coming in, and we shall expect more than 100 will be the result of the camp meeting at Stanmore and the afterwork of the meetings. A family by the name of Davis embraced the truth. Two of them began at once to work for brothers and sisters, until no less than 6 have decided for the truth. They are earnest missionary workers, and they seem to be so anxious to impart that which they have received, which is so highly prized by them. Our conference meeting was a meeting of deep interest. I see a large field in this country to be worked, but great need of that means that would allow us to advance the work in all lines, in all places. I now must have the royalty on the books which are sold in Europe. I know how to use that means fully, as well to advance the work of God right where I am, as my brethren to advance the work where they are. Therefore, my brother, as I have permitted you to apply the means, relying on your judgment to make a right disposition of it, I now request that all means shall be henceforth returned to me to use where fields are opening and churches raised up and meeting houses built. We must have a hospital, humble and yet convenient, to treat sick patients right here on the grounds where so large interests are centered. I wish at once to know if there are not some funds for me now to use. There is need for all the money I can obtain. I hired £1,000 of Sister Wessel's. She has now called for this, which she says must be apportioned to her children. All is tied up in the school building and the school lands, and they have not $1 to pay that money. I am responsible for it, and you must see the situation. Elder Haskell needs his money, which he kindly lent me at the very commencement of our school interest in Melbourne. I have now a sense of duty to return this to Elder Haskell. All the money I could obtain, and all of my royalties, I have used up just as close as possible in advancing the work, and now I feel very much the need of means. I would, therefore, that you to whom I have formerly entrusted to use this means of royalty shall now return to me the trust because of a positive necessity. I am writing many things to Battle Creek to correct influences that have been strengthening in a wrong line of perverted principle. It is so much harder now than to have had faithful sentinels to watch against the enemy's incoming, that Satan should not gain the advantage and work his will, to weaken and to discourage and pervert all along the lines because of unfaithful work of those in positions of high responsibility. It has made my work needlessly severe and soul-trying, but the Lord understands it all. Oh, how essential that every soul who shall accept such grave responsibilities shall not get weary of the old-fashioned lamp to shine on his pathway, and think himself much too wise to believe all that the Lord hath spoken. They use the common fire in the place of the sacred. The human is mingled in all their work, and it is a perplexity for them to discern that which is from beneath from that which is from above. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have at mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Isaiah 50, verse 10-11. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they that see might be made blind. John 9, verse 39.
The new costly lamps that many prefer give an uncertain, sickly light. And these lights have been preferred to the old-fashioned lamps. The old book, the living oracles of God, have had little restraint upon men in these last days, men who have trusted in human power, human devising, rather than in the living God. By and by, when the night cometh, and the voice is heard, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him, it will be revealed that the new lamps were destitute of oil. Matthew 25, verse 6-8. Then the honest men and women will return and discern between the pure golden oil from the olive branches and the spurious article they have been using. They cry eagerly for the old lamp which they have exchanged for human inventions. The Bible, and the Bible alone, is our lamp and our light. The word of our God shall stand forever and forever. Only God's work lasts. The truth, pure, unadulterated truth, ever is new, solid, healthful, and to be depended on, shining amid the moral darkness, outshining every modern invention. It has come down through the ages to our time. It outshines every other apparent light, throwing its penetrating rays into the future, showing us things to come. Oh, it is true that only those who walk humbly with God will make safe paths for their own feet and the feet of others. Oh, what a pity it is that there are so many bent upon having their own way, and they cross the only safe path, that of humility and obedience, in the place of walking in the way of the Lord. They do not look at the cross, at the Son of Righteousness, who became our Savior by the humiliation of the cross, and live. Oh, that men who have had great light and who knew the way once would not imperil their own eternal interest and many, many souls by walking in the imagination of their own devising. Oh, my brother, I hope you will not fail in making clean work and helping others out of the darkness into the light. He bequeaths the greatest blessings to the future who works the works of God in the present. The events of the ages are all under the control of God. Every noble influence is through the workings of God. Every enterprise that come from God will return back to God in honor to His name, for He is the author of it all. He is not only the Alpha, but the Omega, and the finisher of it. When I learned that Brother Robinson and his wife were sent to England, I thought I could not have heard aright. And then when his work was laid before me, with you to strengthen it, I thought, indeed, your eyes must have been put out. His wife is unconverted, unsanctified in tongue and in heart, and is a channel of darkness. Her influence is bad, and only bad continually. This was presented to me when I was attending the meeting in Brooklyn, New York. The proposition was then made that he should himself become a teacher of young men to enter the ministry. The light was given to me that had he been a fit teacher, he would never have made such a proposition. But because he did not understand himself, he felt his ability to do the responsible work of fitting up young men for that great work. While in the meeting, in the hall full of people, the power of God came upon me in a most marked manner, and I gave the testimony the Lord had given me for both Brother Robinson and his wife, whom I do not call a sister even, because her spirit and works forbid I should do this. I bore my testimony,